This is a review of a performance at Newmark Theater by Aurora Chorus this past Sunday. It was Mother's Day, a brilliant and clear Sunday. Cindy Sheehan and several thousand American mothers and families grieved at the loss of their children in the oil fields of the Middle East. Millions of families in Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine, Darfur, as well as Israel, did the same. For those, it was another day of loss. In Portland, we had the opportunity to listen to the beautiful music performed by the Aurora Chorus during a special performance at Newmark Theater. 100 women singing in behalf of peace, taking their cue from Julia Ward Howe's original intent for the day. It Takes a Village was the theme for the festival which preceded it. The day's mission was to inspire thoughts and acts of peace. Entering the building to attend the concert, I was surrounded by families with a swarm of children. Having just escaped the frowning bus traffic, I was struck by the smiles everywhere. This was a real celebration. Love makes a family, I thought. Indeed, Love Makes a Family was one of the sponsors. The Aurora Chorus was the fitting cap to this day of remembrance and respect for those lost and those still loved surrounding us. I was struck by the irony of how lily white the crowd was. Portland studies peace and sings to it at the Newmark, and the only African American, and him by dint of having shared his music here for so long, was Oboe Adi on the stage. Oboe Adi, the master drummer in the Ga tradition from Ghana. I didn't know there are 40 distinct languages in Ghana. Sounds like New Orleans, speaking of grief and loss. But the music was contagious in its relief and childlike excitement, an exaltation of community and peace, diverse from Ghanaian and South African stories, Zimbabwean stories, from Pueblo and Bantu stories, from the Song of Solomon, both recited and sung, to Laura Nyro and Rodgers and Hammerstein. Songs from Fred Small and Libby Roderick, poems by Langston Hughes and Wendell Berry, arranged as were so many of the songs performed by Joan Shimko, whose energy was a performance in itself as she coordinated the sound, her back to us, arms weaving, punctuated by abrupt smiles of the women after Sansa Chroma or Wanfa Nyam. It was at times like an enveloping wind of peace, and at others like a whisper of peace. Very affecting. We're not going to let you leave here without believing peace, being peace, the chorus seemed to say. Their performances are associated with celebrations of the equinox and the solstice, which titles one of their CDs, and with giving voice to peaceful change and social justice. This Thursday, the 18th, they will sing at Holiday Park from 3 to 4 as part of the Girl Power Summit. The Girls' Bill of Rights includes, quote, to express myself with originality and enthusiasm, unquote. That is precisely how I characterize the Newmark concert. Check their website, www.auroracorus.org. Keep in mind, too, Friday night at 8:05 at Disjecta, down the street from KBOO at 320 East Burnside, Malik Rahim of Common Ground in New Orleans will speak as part of Village Building Convergence No. 6. This is Jay Thiemeyer for KBOO.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons and mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com.
And this is KBOO in Portland, Oregon. The time is 11 o'clock. Time now for Democracy Now!
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212, in Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net.
This is a review of a performance at Newmark Theater by Aurora Chorus this past Sunday.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
This morning, the committee begins public hearings on the National Security Agency, or as it is more commonly known, the NSA.
30 years ago, the Church Committee investigated the Nixon administration's widespread surveillance of U.S. citizens, leading Congress to pass the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. As the NSA once again comes under scrutiny for domestic wiretapping, we'll speak with the chief counsel to the Church Committee, Frederick Schwartz. The secret domestic surveillance program is now being criticized by an unlikely source, a former NSA director, Bobby Ray Inman.
My own view, this activity was not authorized by a resolution. Use whatever force you need to do. There clearly was a line in the FISA statutes which says you couldn't do this.
Then the Army Surgeon General issues an unusual warning about the upcoming HBO documentary Baghdad ER, that military personnel watching it could experience symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder.
Here in the Medical Task Force 86, we have over 700 soldiers. You can learn about war by walking through this facility. There's the horrors of what man can do to man are visualized right here. But we do our best, our level best, to make sure our people survive and make it back to their homes.
We'll speak with the filmmakers of Baghdad ER, as well as a military doctor who spent a year as an emergency medical physician in Baghdad and the mother of a soldier killed in Iraq. But first, the Justice Department launches a criminal investigation of the New York Police Department over its treatment of protesters during the Republican National Convention. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Democracy Now! Has learned the Justice Department has launched a criminal civil rights investigation into the New York Police Department over the NYPD's treatment of protesters during the RNC. During the week of the 2004 convention, police arrested some 1,800 protesters, more than at any previous political convention in the country's history. We'll have more on this story after headlines. After months of resistance, the Bush administration has agreed to brief all members of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees on its domestic wiretapping program. Analysts said the decision was made to shore up support for CIA nominee General Michael Hayden, who oversaw the National Security Agency when the program was introduced. Hayden's confirmation hearings begin Thursday. Republican strategists cited another benefit. Because of congressional rules over classified information, lawmakers would be forced to temper public discussion of the program once they were briefed on it. One senior Republican aide told the Los Angeles Times, quote, "When they know about it, they're obligated to be quiet." In other news, Iran has rejected a European proposal that would grant it several incentives for halting nuclear enrichment activities. The incentives would include a light water nuclear reactor. Announcing his rejection, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said, quote, "Do you think you're dealing with a four-year-old child to whom you can give walnuts and chocolates and get gold from him?" The proposal was also rejected by the U.S. A new arms embargo on Venezuela is heightening tensions between the Bush and Chavez governments. On Monday, the U.S. announced it's banning arms sales to Venezuela because it has not cooperated with the Bush administration's so-called anti-terror efforts. Venezuelan officials said the ban is laying the political groundwork for a possible attack. On Tuesday, State Department spokesperson Sean McCormick responded to the allegation.
Look, you know, it's just an attempt to sort of obscure the issue. And what they should instead be focusing on is cooperating in the war against terrorism. There are UN resolutions that should be a guide for every country's efforts in that regard. So I think that they should, instead of throwing up sort of diversionary rhetoric and overheated rhetoric, they might focus instead on actually taking steps to fight terror.
in response to the arms embargo. President Chavez says he's considering sending U.S. F-16s to Iran. In Colombia, thousands of indigenous Colombians blocked a major southern highway Tuesday to protest a pending trade agreement with the United States. Organizers said the blockade drew more than 30,000 people. At least 30 people were reported injured when police used tear gas on the crowds. Government officials accused the demonstrators of being a front for the rebel group Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC. Indigenous leader Jose Antonio Catome had this response.
Here they are attacking us with helicopters. They are attacking also with bullets. That is, they are attacking in different ways as if we were an illegal group. And it is totally false that this was encouraged by the FARC. We take responsibility for this.
In Bolivia Tuesday, the government released details of plans to distribute unused land to the country's poor peasants. Officials said over 12 million acres of land would initially be given out. Bolivian Vice President Alvaro Garcia Linera said privately owned productive farmland would not be affected and called for a public dialogue.
Con los campesinos.
With the farmers, with the indigenous, with all the social sectors involved in the issue of land. It is necessary to bring together points of conflict, to talk about them at the table, look at them from one side, look at them from the other, and at the end of a month, 2 months, or 3 months, we will begin to make decisions again.
In Brazil, the death toll for more than 5 days of gang and police violence in Sao Paulo has reached at least 115 people. Clashes broke out last week when one of Brazil's leading gangs launched a series of attacks. Following the announcement, several of the gang's imprisoned leaders would be transferred to different facilities. The gangs targeted police stations, military installations, and prison outposts. Police said they have made at least 90 arrests. In Iraq, the London Independent's reporting violence in the town of Basra has worsened to the point where one person is being assassinated every hour. Meanwhile, a survey carried out by the Iraqi government and UNICEF has concluded a quarter of all Iraqi children suffer from malnutrition. Back in the United States, the Justice Department has released new video footage of the 9/11 attack on the Pentagon. The video shows American Airlines Flight 77 approaching the Pentagon at nearly ground level. Moments later, the Pentagon is seen in flames. Judicial Watch, the public interest group that obtained the video's release, said it hoped the footage helps put to rest theories the Pentagon was hit by something other than a hijacked plane. Mexico has announced it may take legal action in response to President Bush's plan to deploy thousands of troops to the border. On Tuesday, Mexican officials said they would file lawsuits in U.S. courts if the National Guard took part in detaining and or mistreating detainees. In Washington, President Bush defended his plan.
I made it clear to the country last night that we're not going to militarize our border. Mexico is a friend. But what we are going to do is use assets necessary to make sure that we can assure the American people that the border is secure.
In Nebraska, the NAACP has filed a lawsuit over a new law that divides Omaha public schools into three racially identifiable districts. Under the law, the Omaha district will be split into three, one mostly black, one largely Latino, and one predominantly white. The NAACP called the plan a reversion to segregation. In Georgia, a judge has struck down a ban on same-sex marriage. The court ruled the measure had violated constitutional rules on single-issue voting when it appeared on the ballot 2 years ago. The ban was originally passed as part of a ballot question that included several other questions, a practice barred under state law. In Los Angeles, city and state officials have filed suit against Coca-Cola, accusing it of distributing contaminated soft drinks. The suit says millions of Coke bottles sold over the last 4 years have been tainted with lead. Coca-Cola called the allegations outlandish. And a new poll shows public confidence in Republican governance has hit its lowest point since President Bush took office. According to the Washington Post, a wide majority of Americans say they have more trust in Democrats to deal with Iraq, the economy, immigration, and several other major issues. The results suggest the Democrats' favorable rating has less to do with public support for its policies than with dissatisfaction with the Republicans. More than half of those surveyed said the Democrats have not offered a sharp contrast to President Bush. Bush and the Republican Party. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.